It was really bad news. And then I was introduced to the temple, and it was pretty strange. And then I looked around, and then I was introduced to these different pictures on the walls. And at that time, we had all Brijabasi pictures. I don't know where they got them. This was 1970. But somehow or other, they got these beautiful Brijabasi pictures, especially that one of Gopal Krishna hugging the calf. Looks like a deer, but it's so cute. And then there was one of Murali Krishna playing the flute with a beautiful background and everything. And I thought, boy, the philosophy is really great. Food's not so good. But these pictures, wow, you know, why not? Why can't he be this way? You know, why not worship him? Except for in the evening, I was told the picture by Dina Bandhu of Lord Nrisingadev, which was really a gory picture. That I had a little hard time with. Didn't really understand what that was. But anyway, the other pictures of Krishna, I really, really thought, well, why not? I don't really have an objection to God looking like this. Did anyone have a hard time accepting the form of Krishna when they first saw him? No. I don't think it wasn't a, you know, a big thing in our mind to, oh, why this? Why blue? Why all these things? And plus, then I thought, well, the only thing I have to really to compare it with is Jesus Christ, but I knew that he wasn't God, that he was the Son of God. And then, of course, we have Lord Chaitanya, who is beautiful avatar and also did miracles and was, you know, kind-hearted and everything like that. So I really didn't have a hard time. And plus, I don't know about you, but if I had to make a form of the Lord, what would you add or subtract to these forms? Does anyone have anything, additions about subtractions? Something you don't like about this form? No. So it's very easy for us to accept that. Why isn't this Krishna? And Prabhupada even said, if you find something better, fine. But we haven't found anything better. So they have accepted this Lord, this little baby Krishna as Lord. And we accepted it also. And we also accepted the offer that was given to us that we, in this lifetime, could actually meet this personality. That we could actually come to know. And ultimately, Prabhupada said we could face-to-face see the Supreme Lord. And so this was an offer that couldn't be beat, if you ask me. How could you, you know, pass that one up? And here it's described that actually Krishna is in our hearts and that we can see him. But that means we have to go to the core of the heart. Now, if you know anything about, you know, probably mechanics, Madan Mohan, the core of something is usually kind of hidden. It's way down inside. You don't throw it away. You can recycle it. It's not easy to get to usually, and it's covered by many things. So this core in our heart, where the soul and Krishna is very much covered. But we just have to take the time, like Malika Madhagriva. They had time, so we have to take time. We don't have a lot of time, though. Don't think that you can, you know, waste any time, but we have to take the time to go very deep within the core of our heart to see him. And it takes a lot of concentrated effort also to, you know, revive this consciousness, which is fully conscious of Krishna. Krishna is there in our original consciousness. So it's described that bhakti is a process of purification of the heart. It is, you know, a process of going very deep and doing a lot of work on it. It's a condition of the heart, which is natural. So we have to accept, you know, what we're giving, you know, the process, so that we can see him. But why are we always saying, oh, we have to see God? Why just, you know, with the eyes we have to see God? Prabhupada complained, why do you have to just see God? Why can't you just, like, realize him, even just in the philosophy or in by hearing from him? There's so many different ways you can actually see, just like it's described, the mind's eye. You know, when you remember Krishna, there's an eye in your mind that remembrance, you actually picture him. You know, when you aren't available, you know, not, you know, away from the temple or away from devotees, you can just close your eyes and just picture the Lord, you know. just by hearing him. Or when we chant and we listen to our rounds, we can hear him. Also, there must be an eye in the heart too, the same type thing. It's very connected. We can actually see him in different ways. So it's not necessary through the eyes, but also through our tongue. We can taste Krishna. We can smell the incense. So many different ways we can touch the Lord and touch the devotees. This is also a very relishable way. These two fortunate personalities, they got to actually see him face to face, which is, they became very qualified to do that. But there's other ways also that you can see God. I know that now that as you become a little bit more purified in Krishna consciousness, some of the things that happen to you in your lives, you just see, wow, that was Krishna. That was definitely Krishna. Even if it's good or even if it's bad, whoa, that was Krishna. I deserve that. Yep, that was meant to happen. So this is also a way that we can to really see God. And then there's another way too where you can actually begin to see God and God's qualities in the devotees. Even in this purport, it's describing that Krishna's claiming to be our very self, that he actually is there within us. And sometimes this is manifest. There's one nice book I just finished reading. It's called Many Moons. And it's described how, by Giriraj Maharaj, that Prabhupada, he was just hoping for one moon, you know, the many stars, but one moon that would, you know, take up Krishna consciousness and shine this philosophy and this life and this love for Krishna brilliantly, to be able to illuminate the whole universe. And, of course, he was the supreme moon, Prabhupada himself. But Giriraj Maharaj says that, actually, Prabhupada, you have many moons now. And he describes of some of the contemporaries of the movement that have lost, left their bodies and gone on to be with Krishna. But he describes Tamal Krishna Goswami, and he kind of churns their different qualities that he could see, that, you know, qualities of Krishna, you know, like Tamal Krishna Goswami being very expert at things, and there's Sridhar Swami, who was so personal and so humorous. Different qualities of Krishna. And then there was, I think her name was Kirtita or something like that, who was very, loving and very charitable, and another Indian gentleman who was very renounced and very fixed, and Swarup Damodar Goswami, who was very surrendered to Prabhupada. Anything Prabhupada said, he would do. So this is also getting to see Krishna and the devotees. I actually stated that when one sees a devotee of Krishna, they automatically remember Krishna. That's a real Vaishnava. When you see them, oh, yeah, Krishna, Krishna, there's a Krishna. So this is also another way to see Krishna. So, but there's also the other side where Krishna is wanting to see us. And therefore, I think it's Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur that said that we should act in a way that Krishna will be able to recognize us and want to see us and recognize us as a sincere devotee. And this is what he's looking for. He's looking for the sincerity in the core of that heart. He's looking very deep to see what is our motivations. And obviously he sees within these two individuals that their heart has become very sincere and that they've rectified their nonsense. So when I think of sincerity, I think that I think of this thinking, feeling, and willing that you know you say what you do and you do what you say. This is real sincerity, but also what you think, you know, and what you do, and what you are willing to do. These all have to be on the same purity, on that, with no doubt, with full conviction that everything that I do, that I say, this is going to please Krishna. And so this is a real sign of sincerity that Krishna looks at within each person. And this is the mood that we should imbibe, that we are trying to be sincere by the grace of Srila Prabhupada and all the acharyas, that we can pick up that mood, their mood of being very sincere and pure at heart. And so this is what we should work on. But also, there's others that see God in a different way. And they see the hand of God. And they see the hand of God in some of the majestic and all-powerful nature, on very moving, things that happen, good and bad. Sometimes they, condemn God for his hand, that he did some bad things. But they also praise God's hand for making beautiful, wonderful things that help them. But at least they're seeing God working. They're seeing him, his hand in there. I don't know what they see is connected to the hand, but they see that power, that one quality of power and majesty and control in God. And then, of course, they also say the unexplained. They see this is the hand of God. I think it's just a matter of the process of elimination. They don't have another word to put for the unexplained thing, so they just say, okay, it must be God, although they don't know really who God is, unfortunately. But these two personalities, they actually have seen Krishna's hand and seen who's behind the hand. They've seen this nice little chubby hand, little teeny babies they have, their hands are all kind of like all one. They don't have really a lot of form. They're all just kind of chubby, real fat. And then he sees the pink palms of Krishna's hand and the blue outside of Krishna's hand. And he gets to see the bangles probably that Mother Yashoda has, with maybe some bells hanging on the wrist, and maybe even some rings, little teeny rings. They really decorate little babies, And probably saw a lot of dirt stuck onto the yogurt and the butter that he had just gotten caught stealing. So his probably hands are probably a little dirty also. So these two fortunate personalities have really seen the hands of God. And this is because they understand now that I am just simply the servant of this great, great, great personality of Krishna. And so this humility and this mood of service and reverence has benedicted them with this sight, face to face, hand to hand, seeing Krishna. And then there's some other personalities that have been searching for Krishna also. These are very, very enthusiastic personalities. There's been a team of them, a couple thousand of them, for the last 34 years, looking for the cause of all causes, for the supreme control of the supreme support of the universe. Very enthusiastic bunch of people. And I happened to come across a little bit of explanation, because just recently, in the newspaper all over, they have announced that they have found the God particle. They think they have. They think they saw it. They have been smashing atoms now at the cost of $3 billion for the last 30 years to find that inside that atom something that is the support of the whole universe. So they've had some success now. They had a party in their office, and the man who thought about this God particle about 30, 40 years ago, thought that it must exist. He isn't working on it anymore, but all the people that got enthusiastic about it, that looking for it, it's called the Higgs boson or something, I don't know, something like that. Anyway, Professor Higgs is just like, wow, you maybe saw it, congratulations. And now everyone's thinking that this personality, Professor Higgs, should get a Nobel Prize for it. So anyway, I have a couple little notes from their realization of this God particle, how important it is. Without it, the universe would be a very different place. No ordinary matter as we know it. No chemistry, no biology, no people. And this is the quote from a theoretical physicist. So if anyone wants to really perfect their lives and spend their whole time making theories, there's a whole new post for you. This is one of the goals of the persons who are working on this. I have you to know that there's 120, 150 very dedicated Indians that are involved in this atheistic demoniac program. So this is what they say. With enough data, physics would make God obsolete. If we can describe the laws of nature back to the beginning of time without any supernatural shenanigans, it becomes clear that you don't need God. Hallelujah. Good luck. And in summary of some of the people that have worked on this, I'll read it right from the news article. The Higgs particle, if it's real, will show itself in different ways, and they're hoping that they can get enough people that see it. So it only lasts for like a 2,000 millionth of a second that maybe you can see it. Anyway, this is one of the cornerstones of how we understand the universe. And if it's not, well, I guess we better check our assumptions about how the universe exists. So everything is like, people are actually believing this. It's really shows the difference between the divine and demoniac persons. This person is, of course, a total atheist and is a little bit embarrassed that they've put the name God particle on it. But it is stimulating a lot of religionists to get fired up to fight it. And in summary of their view of it, they say, this will help us to understand how something came from nothing. And they're spending billions of dollars for nothing, which is really pretty pitiful, if you ask me. I think Prabhupada would really cry if he heard that. So many people are trying to find God and thinking they're knowing God, which is what we should do. We should spend this lifetime, our time and energy, whatever years we have left, in really searching for God. And I think that this professor, if he would just like simplify his life a little bit and kind of think of the story of the Wizard of Oz, that when the dog goes behind and just pulls down the curtain and there's a person behind it all, just pushing all the buttons and everything like that, that he is there. And it's a very simple process. Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda came here 500 years ago and has come to Alachua to engage us in a very simple, practical process, economically very reasonable. There's really no price. And it's an absolute process. There's no speculation. You chant these holy names, which are absolute. That'll give you some absolute realization, some tangible realization of God in your heart. God will actually be dancing on your tongue. That was one of the first things I heard, that God will dance on your tongue. And I thought, wow, I wonder what that's like. And we still see that it happens. Go to a 24-hour kirtan. You'll experience it. Or just chant some really good japa. You'll experience it. So this process is a purification process. And it will do amazing things for the heart. Sometimes I have a hard time finding my heart. I'm kind of like the Tin Man in the Wizard of Oz. I wish I had one. But the process eventually will work on the heart so that we can go to the heart and access it. Luckily, we have the spiritual master. We've been hearing a lot yesterday, I think, or the day before, we've been hearing about how the key to open up that access to go inside behind all these different layers is the spiritual master giving us the holy name and giving us this process so that we can humble ourselves and realize really our real position, that we're not God, that we're actually a particle of God. We're not the God particle. We're just a little teeny tiny particle of God. And in this position that we're actually very happy. It's such a relief to know that we are just a humble servant and that we can do so many things to do in direct service for the Supreme Lord. You can do any of those things on the backboard and do direct service for the Supreme Lord on his birthday. What a nice thing to do. Be so active just on his birthday. And and really have that mood of Manigriva and Nalakuvara of realizing that he is so great that I should celebrate his birthday in a wonderful way. I should give him something wonderful, and especially give it to him from my heart. And this is the real happy position of the soul. And this is what we should aspire for. And we have to get enthusiastic to do it, just like going to the core of the heart. It takes a lot of concentration and practice. So this constant practice is exercises. We're doing all these services as, you know, it's not pure yet, but it's a good exercise. Coming here and sweeping the temple and dressing the deities and cooking is all exercising and clearing the way in our heart to make a wonderful throne for him to sit on. And so I thought I'd read one nice prayer. It's a song. It's a wonderful song. And it's by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, of course. It says, "Please abide in the temple of my heart both day and night, O Krishna Murari, O Sri Krishna Murari. Devotion, love, flower garlands, and sandalwood, please accept. Oh, please accept them, delighter of the heart. In life or in death, I worship you with these offerings. Beautiful one, O enchanter of the heart. Come, son of Nanda. And then, O son of Nanda, I will offer you artik ceremony with the lamplight of my love. The waters of the Jamuna River cascade incessantly from my eyes in your separation, O holder of Govardhan Hill. May I pass my life absorbed only in songs of your praise, O Krishna Murari, Sri Krishna Murari." So this is the condition of the heart that we want and we would like to see everybody else have in the universe. So maybe someone else has something they'd like to add. Lakshmani.
Kavi Chandra Maharaj did some research and he found out that actually initially he named it that goddamn particle because he was looking for, like, this is the missing link in its microscopic form. So he and his editor said, well, it would be better if you call it the God particle. Goddamn particle won't work. So they renamed it God particle. But originally it was the goddamn particle.
I think he'll be quite surprised when he gets smashed like the atoms at the time of his death. He'll end up to be a very small particle again, I'm sure. Yes, Madam Mohan?
You were mentioning about the eye, how to see, like mm-hmm. that. And it reminded me of that verse in the Brahma Samhita, the Premanjana verse, and in the purport, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj Prabhupada. He said that... that's just the unadulterated eye of the soul. So we also have spiritual senses, and the spiritual senses see Krishna in the heart. And then there was the time when Ramananda Roy was asking Lord Chaitanya, he was a little confused about who Lord Chaitanya was, and he's saying first he saw him as a sannyas, and then he saw him as Radha and Krishna, and then he sees him golden. So Lord Chaitanya responded back to him with a nice verse that ended with Nija Ishta Dev Spurti, that someone who has this love for Krishna, that's their Ishta Dev. And all they do, Krishna manifests to them. So it's not that we actually see Krishna, we desire to see Krishna, and when it's ready, Krishna manifests in reciprocation.
And that spiritual eye has to be anointed with the salve of premanjana, of love. And that we get here by doing some service. Anybody else? Jai Shilpa Bhakti Jai.